haven't recorded anything in a little while. I finished the design principles class, got an A, of course. On to business ethics. I didn't really get a chance to work on an in-depth project for the smart TV and media organization. So some things I was looking at there with the TV project or technology project is the reduction of options, the organization, standardized connections, equipment reduction, and energy savings. So I'm just going to talk briefly about those things. Obviously, with the introduction of the smart TV, we have just a thinner, lighter television. It doesn't take 2-3 people to move it. I can move one myself as a small woman. It's lightweight. All the videos are inside, kept on the internet somewhere, and are accessible to everyone. Some for a subscription and some for a price. It's still quite disorganized. So, you know, you might find Paramount Pictures or the channel and CBS falling under another subscription like, I don't know, YouTube television. You wouldn't understand that unless you went online and searched what falls under YouTube television and what's available. So just turning on the TV with a remote and seeing all those little app buttons doesn't really give you an idea what each little application or TV subscription, media subscription gives you. So you still need the computer, which is fine. You still need the internet. So you still need two devices. You need whatever you use to access the internet with a keyboard, which is your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, whatever. And the TV once came with a browser that allowed you to access and search the internet. So the TV was being used as a sort of a computer device, a monitor with everything right there. You just needed to hook up a keyboard and start typing away. Well, that's no longer an option. It might be an option on some of the TVs. I haven't done a research project on that. The more expensive ones, let's see, I could look it up real quick. Sony Bravia TV, smart TV. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if it's worth continuing to talk about. The TV that I have doesn't allow you to do that. But a smart Google TV, $3,700 and $3,799. See 700,000 plus movies and TV episodes plus live TV all in one place. Doesn't say if you need a separate subscription. So, you know, the product just assumes that it comes with it. Google Assistant. So it sort of gives you an idea that you can use the internet using this TV, but, you know, you don't really know until you go see it, which you can do that at Best Buy and all those other places. The point here, though, is not just what you can do with your TV, but are they really getting better with the internet? And these other applications. Is the TV becoming more similar to the internet? Can you access the internet using your TV? And the answer is obviously yes, it requires a special way to connect, and you can look that up on the internet. So, I mean, these are becoming really basic things that everybody's learning, which is great. Which is great, but the problem is you can look that up on the internet. That's a great, nice ability. That's a nice thing to have. But I think the problem or maybe it's not a problem, but technology has sometimes gotten so advanced that you need an expert opinion. You need to talk to a salesperson, or you need a demonstration, or you need to do that yourself to really see how your own system works. Because my LG monitor and my Dell computer Optiplex is different from my Chrome notebook or laptop, which is different from the IBM laptop, which is different from the Firefox browser to the Edge browser. All little different functions and features. And the same thing I guess it's similar with, you know, phones. But that's more of a service-based. Those are service-based options. You get a call waiting for an extra $2. You get call tracing or call tracking or whatever. Call star 69, call you right back. You can hide your number with a special code. Stuff like that. Those are just little service options. And with the television, the content are special little service options. But they're called applications, right? So no longer do we Cox Communication, Time Warner. I'd like to sign up for a monthly cable package and pay you a separate price from my internet bill and my phone bill, even though they offer a bundled package and putting all those services together to give you everything you want and need. Technology is going further where now you don't even need a telephone connected to the wall. You can use your computer with what they call voice over IP. I don't even like the name of that. I liked it at first, voice over IP. It means that you're using your voice over an internet protocol like I'm doing right now, but it's in a live conversation. So using the internet to make a phone call. Most common ones are Skype and other ones. Go to meeting, go to phone, whatever. And so those are really neat features, especially when you can make a phone call from your television. We had some features that allowed the call waiting, who's calling with caller ID, show up on your television. Well, that's a nice feature, but that's not really, that's just creating a larger visual in a specific place. And that's good, but there are more advanced options that we would like to see rather than just making something bigger of a single, you know, extra service that belongs to a phone company. You know? Like that's not a major contribution to the communications industry. And television is a communications device. It's where we receive all of our information from outside sources. But here's the thing, a television is also used to show information from indoor sources. If you say outdoors, indoors, I'm referring to things outside of your home and things inside of your home, within your home. So a good TV could actually perform just like an advanced TV monitor where you have an actual camera at the top there of the monitor that watches you watch TV. Oh, how great is that? That's not very advantageous. But, you know, when you're recording video and you want to see yourself on a playback, that's actually a nice feature. But it's not worth $500 or $200 extra to build that into the system. Although the computer industry thought it was. It's called a web camera. Some are external and some are internal. But a better term or way to talk about that is one that's displayed on your monitor and one that is connected to your hard drive as a separate device. So you know you can connect your camcorder to your computer and record your movies and store them on your computer. You can also stream them and show them on your TV. And so as far as technology management and organization processes, there's no standard organization process. I have 20 home movies that I created, and I would like to store those on my computer so that I can create a nice little family library. And later I want to publish those and share them with the family where only the family can see it. And those options are available, which is really cool. You just do have to have technical expertise. You have to be able to create an internet site or pay somebody to do that for you. It's not something you can go and just pick up in 5 minutes like you can a camcorder, look at a few buttons, and turn it on. It's complicated. But you can learn. The internet is out there and you can learn it. But veering off into that learning system and learning how to create videos and store them online, organize them on your local hard drive or on a disk, and understanding how much a single disk can hold and how much a single hard drive, computer memory or storage can hold at one time, how many videos can play at one time, is you're sort of venturing into technology systems and worldwide systems. How many instances of this video can be rented online on the internet and streamed in every house across the United States all at the same time on the same server? And wouldn't that be a bit much on the memory? Because I know I can't stream 135 million copies of a video on my single little computer at one time, at the same time, because it would crash. It can't process all of that. So how that media is streamed and organized is usually one copy broadcasted over a network and sent to the internet system or another system, which was cable. And now it's moving to the internet. So that's pretty neat. But that doesn't give you much insight into how to organize your own personal streaming videos and a good standardized process for changing or moving homemade videos from your video camera, which has connectors to your computer and to your television, storing them and saving them, and then putting them on the internet so that it's access controlled, so not everybody can see it, and so that you can look at it from anywhere. You could be over at your friend's house and you say, I want to watch that video that we made for class to work on our science project, because we need to review some of our observations that we made and taped on the video. And so we need to be able to access that anywhere. So if you're at your friend's house, you can simply log into your account where you saved it and then review it that way. Those processes and practices aren't written anywhere. With that in mind, right? Access it. We use little tag words. Access it anywhere. Access controlled. But I can't explain. I mean, I can explain how it's done in a step-by-step way. But then we get into what software system is the best. What should we use to do that? So if I put my videos on YouTube, which is the standard video place where we go for videos, and I have an account and I upload it, can I manage who sees it. I have visibility. I have either private, unlisted, or public. But I can't list a set of users that says I only want my two or three classmates to watch this. And I don't want everyone else to see it. And it's not simple. So YouTube's not the right answer for those kind of things. Once it goes on YouTube, it's either public for everyone or it's private for a list of invitees that are sent on email. And you can do that. You can share it privately and list those via email. So that kind of does give you a short list of people that you can share with. So it does kind of give you privacy. But it says invitees must sign into their Google account to view the private video. So you have to have a Google account. Can't get by if you don't have a Google account. So, I can't do that. I use Hotmail. I use Microsoft. I use Yahoo. I don't want to sign up for a new email address just to work on this video or this project. Well, you have to if you're going to use YouTube. Right? Did you know that? If you use YouTube or if you use Google at all, you have to have an account. I mean, you can search Google without an account, but it's much better with an account. So then we get into account management. Well, what email do I use? Because now I have three different emails, and where do I store these pictures? Do I put them in my Microsoft OneDrive storage location online so I can access it anywhere using my Microsoft account? Or do I put them in Google YouTube, set a private visibility, and store them there? These are software options. YouTube is better. But the problem is there's no backup system on YouTube. You forget your password, it gets locked out. Whatever, you can't get those videos back. They're gone. I experienced that with several videos. Microsoft's the same thing. If you forget your password, can't recover it. You can't get those videos back either. So the process that I used was a standard home copy, which is your master, your original. And you either store that on a CD or on your local hard drive. But even though those get scratched up, lost, there's always risk to losing videos. But really, it's a matter of which ones are the best for storage space, free storage, which one has the free viewer that makes it real simple to show, watch, share, and which ones allow for, I don't want to get into video creation and all those systems right now, but which one is the most reliable? Well, if I have a video shared using my Microsoft Hotmail or Live account, I share the video with you, I have to attach it and send it to you. That means I'm attaching it and sending you a copy of it. That takes a long time. Too long. Because now it has to send that whole file, which is a big file. But if I upload it to YouTube and I share with you the location of it or share or invite you to view it using an email address, or if I make it public, I just upload it once. I don't even have to upload it again and send it to 5 people or 10,000 people or whatever I want to do. And it's stored there. And so they can go and view it anytime rather than going into their email. They go into their YouTube file. and they look at and they have a chance to say, I liked it. Thumbs up. They even can comment on it. They can even comment on it. So that's cool. I recommend YouTube. But can you stream YouTube on your television? Yes. That's what's awesome. YouTube's available on TV. So I love YouTube. They have your own personal videos, a storage place for your homemade, home-created videos. They also have music videos, which are free now, and also storage, content management, lot of features. But check it out. So that's the best organization I can give you today about videos, storage, where to store them, what are the risks, you know, what if I lose it, what if it gets deleted, what if I forget my login, what if the sky falls and the clouds get in the way. I don't know, you know, it's sad. It's really sad because I had a really nice video that I created and saved it on YouTube, and it's gone. Two of them, gone forever. And they're just terrible at recovery, you know, at getting those videos back after they're gone. So it's important to save them, save your passwords, store and share them. And, you know, maybe next podcast I can get into how to embed those videos on an internet site using code and iframes. Kind of neat. Or how to just simply share it. I mean, figure out how to use YouTube first. Figure out how to use YouTube on your computer and then on your TV. You should already know this. But I think I'm talking to the younger generation, my son. And see what you can do there. All right. That's all for today. Have a nice day. 22 minutes, 58, 59 seconds. 23 minutes, 7 minutes early from 30 minutes.